This is the Accidentally Intentional Podcast. I'm your host, Zoe. I hate small talk, and I'm ready to have meaningful conversations that build us. Let's go. Today, I've brought my friend Matt Leach onto the podcast because, well, the two of us have learned together from firsthand experience that the topic we are addressing today is one that a lot of people have questions about, but never really feel comfortable sharing. You see, my friend Matt Leach and I have attended the same church and decided 2 years ago we wanted to start a small group for singles only. So it was called the Singles Only Small Group, and our goal and our tactic was to be able to create a space for people to ask hard questions, ask weird questions, and create a safe space where people can feel like they can open up and hopefully in turn find their community, find their tribe, build friendships, etc. So we're here today and we're unpacking our personal experiences we've had, as well as reflecting upon our season as small group leaders and what we were able to witness firsthand. And my friend Matt Leach is amazing. He's the perfect person for this because he loves people so deeply. He actually just accepted a job as an online community pastor for Life Center Church. So he will be doing exactly this, building community. I hope you guys are ready. Here we go. All right, what's up, guys? Welcome to another Accidentally Intentional Podcast. I brought my guy, Matt Leach, here today.
How's it going? Thanks for having me on.
I feel like my best little guy, Aussie, is going to be upset that I called you my guy, because I call every guy friend my guy.
Shout out Aussie, though.
Shout out to Aussie. I'm going to throw a picture of Aussie right here.
Yeah, okay, great. Cool.
Perfect. So, Matt, today, you are our special guest because we're talking about how to find and build community, which basically is just like, how do I find my group?
Yep.
How do I find my people?
The people. Yep, exactly.
Because after college, adulting and finding friends is just a jungle.
Yeah, it's tough.
Yeah.
This is fun for us because I don't know what background Zoe may or may not have given, but this is fun because we actually started a small group kind of based on this idea, based on this topic.
That's right.
A couple years ago, year and a half.
Yeah.
A small group of in church. Zoe came to me with this idea, this fun idea, and she's like, Matt, what if we create our own small group for people who feel like they don't have community, they're not in relationship because, right, church is all like, oh, cool, I found my person.
Yes.
I see them again, other, whatever. So what if we created a group of people who are in a season of singleness, looking for people who are also in a season of singleness, and they don't necessarily want a significant other, but they just want community and they want people to do life with. So
yeah, because I wanted to find a group for people who were like overlooked.
Yeah.
Right? And we've had episodes in the past. If you haven't checked them out, my two episodes with Lou Phillips on singleness, if you're single and you're struggling right now. But anyways, so we wanted to start this group.
Yeah.
Basically, we were just like, what's one group we could hit? Singles, like we were both at the time.
Yeah.
Matt is now engaged.
Hey.
Spoiler alert, not from our group. Unfortunately, it did not work like a dating pool. As I hope. No, I'm just kidding.
Right.
But so it was a really cool experiment for us.
It was.
Because maybe this could be similar to your experience as a listener, but small groups or Bible studies at church, sometimes how it's been for me in the past, is very forced, I guess is the word I would use, where people are just like, this is what we're going to talk about today.
Yep.
We're going to read this. And then we have prepared questions that were pre-scripted.
Yep.
And I was just like, no, we got to throw that out the window in our group.
Yeah.
So we came up with this pretty fun idea of doing the singles only small group where we would take a podcast episode over a conversation topic and literally open the conversation topic up to our group as a result. So it was just like a springboard.
Yeah.
And man, the conversations that happened, which it was amazing.
It just took off, kind of. I mean, it's funny that you say that like past groups feel forced, because it's actually, that was kind of, I think, a couple of the first comments that people in our group said. They were like, yeah, you know, community has just felt forced for me, or, you know, it just feels like we're just trying to have this awkward conversation about like this, your list of typical stereotypical questions in your head.
Yeah.
And we immediately kind of tried to break those walls and just be like, well, that's not what this group is going to be. So it kind of went all these different ways, which I think was so fun. The most enjoyable aspect.
And that was the thing, right? Is because we wanted everyone in the group to pick a topic.
Yeah.
And the rule was pick a topic that you wish the church would talk about, but never does.
Yep.
So So our first topic as a small group was this exact thing.
Yep.
How to find and build community.
Right.
And I think the first three questions, which Matt and I did not prepare for group, we're just like, whatever, we're just going to be, we're just going to have a conversation and hope people enjoy it. But the first three questions that were asked was, one, has anyone ever felt hurt by somebody in a church building before?
Yeah.
Everyone raised their hand.
Yep.
Question two, one, or two, if you're honest with yourself, do you think you could have been the cause of someone else's pain in the church?
Yeah.
Everyone raised their hand.
Yep.
And it was so eye-opening. And then the third question was really where I think it sealed the deal for the group is because I said, if you think you're awkward meeting someone for the first time, raise your hand. Every dang hand went up. Yeah. And it was just like, okay, exhale.
Yeah.
We're all on equal standing here. Yep. It's hard for everybody.
Yes, exactly. I love that you said it's hard because that was what we tried to really, you know, stress and say like, yeah, this is messy. I think, you know, not to get it too deep into it, but for me personally, and I think same for you, is it has always been messy, especially when you try to get close with someone or the group of people. And we're human beings, so we're naturally gonna do things that, you know, mistakenly hurt the other person or hurt a couple other people. And so we might not try to, or it might happen to us, but that was probably the most important thing. And so we were like, okay, we're all in this same situation, or we've been in similar situations in the past. So it really opened up the group. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, and part of the messiness is, right, that we all have two innate desires, and it's to be fully known and fully loved.
Yeah.
But at the same time, what a terrifying amount of walls you have to break through to get to that place with another person.
Yeah.
You are risking heartbreak, pain, betrayal, rejection, you name it.
Yes. That fear, I feel like, just totally dominates, takes over.
Yeah.
What about for you? I think, you know, if you don't have to get too personal if you don't want to, but for you,
has there been
like an interesting, you know, I guess like what has been your biggest fear in opening up, being vulnerable? Because it's tough and you do have to decide, okay, I'm going to decide to be vulnerable. I'm going to decide to be open with these people, with this person.
Mm-hmm.
What does that look like for you? I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I think it was this whole concept in college for me, which if you listen to the intro trailer episode of this podcast, I kind of talked briefly about this, but when I was in college, I reached a point where I had no friends.
Yep.
And so I had to come to a decision. What am I going to do to fix this?
Yeah.
And it was this whole mindset switch. Yes. Where I basically concluded, okay, what kind of a friend do I want in my life?
Yeah.
Someone who is willing to share. Someone who wants to be encouraged and will encourage me.
Yeah.
And so I basically made a mental note of all of these characteristics. And I was like, I have to be that friend first.
That's awesome. Yeah.
And it was a lot easier when I was like, it's not an agenda, but I want to first be that person so that other people feel that the pressure is off them.
Right.
And so it would be vulnerable even in the sense of sharing your dreams with another person.
Yep.
Like in college, my dream was I'm going to move to LA and be in the film industry in some capacity.
Yep.
Like done deal. It's not even a question.
It's happening.
Yeah. So like when I graduate, people were like, oh, that you're going to go to Hollywood, loser, you know?
Big yikes.
But even just sharing any part of yourself can feel vulnerable at first. And I think it was just forcing myself to break that wall and get to that uncomfortable place.
Yep.
But this magical thing happened because when you are the first person to be vulnerable in a one-on-one situation is what I'm talking about specifically.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Very rarely will someone not return the quote unquote favor and be vulnerable themselves.
It's really good.
Yeah. Because it's just like you realize, oh my gosh, wait, this person is trusting me. What an honor.
Yes.
I want to trust them.
Right.
You know?
Right. Yep.
So it was this cool experience. So
yeah, that's really cool. And honestly, for those of you watching, I mean, Zoe was, I never told you this, but you're kind of one of those people for me. I struggled with that a little bit more post-grad, honestly, because you had my people who, you know, you think are your people for a while, and some of them still are. They're awesome. Awesome guys. But yeah, kind of post-grad, I was, you know, in master's, you know, studying to get my MBA, and I had this whole mindset of like, okay, I think I like, you know, some of it healthy, but I kind of definitely took it to an unhealthy place of like, all right, this is just a lonely season for me. I got to grind. You know, I have to like, you know, just put my head to like, you know, whatever that analogy is, like put my head to the grindstone. Yeah. And just figure it out and do life on my own. It's going to be a tough a year and a half or two years and yeah. and just figure it out. And like after that, you know, then I'll kind of set up my life. But it's just like I found out quickly. I'm like, I'm not going to survive these 2 years if like that's what my lifestyle is going to look like. Mm. And it was a hard, it was just a hard struggle, at least probably for the first year plus or a little less than a year.
Yeah.
And that's honestly kind of what made me, I was forced to open up to people and I was forced to go find community at a church. Luckily, this awesome church that we're still at now. But yeah, I think that's really what forced me and pushed me to be like, okay, Matt, you're going to have, just like you said, going to have to make it happen on your own and you're going to have to force yourself to be open with others. And out of that came so many great relationships. So that was kind of my personal fears, but that's awesome that you said that because it's like no one really else is going to make it happen but you. So
yeah. And it's this whole shift in someone's mind, right?
Yeah.
Is being like, oh, well, that's so uncomfortable. I would venture to ask right now, how comfortable are you really? Because if you keep thinking about it so mm-hmm. much and how you want to change, you're probably uncomfortable as it
yeah.
is.
Yeah.
So,
right.
So
right.
really it's uncomfort versus uncomfort
uh-huh.
or discomfort, yeah. I guess is the, to speak basically, normally. Yeah,
that's it.
And, yeah. but man, it makes a world of a difference.
Yes, for sure. I think people also realize that in the small group that we kind of had too. It's really fun and it's been amazing to see people open up. And also, for those of you who haven't watched the Dreams one with Amy, shout out Amy, she's awesome.
But shout out!
That was our most recent one. But it kind of opened up people in the group to talk about their dreams, to talk about like, hey, I've wanted to pursue this. And immediately what I thought, since it's so definitely like big on my heart, I think for sure to like to have community, to be in relationship with others, is that we were able to rally around those people. I think of a couple mm-hmm. of people specifically who you've gotten close with, a couple of the girls in the small group who yeah. really was like, you know, this has been on my heart, and you've really encouraged them, and other girls have encouraged, you know, those people within that group to pursue that mm-hmm. or to encourage along the way in their life journey, or challenge them or push them in their life journey. I think that only happens in community and in relationship.
Yes.
Which has been, you know, the best part of it. So
yes. All right, now I got a lot of questions that just came to mind.
Let's go.
Okay. So let's say someone's at the point, we're going to give a lot of different scenarios here.
Go for it.
Someone's at the point where they're like, okay, I'm ready to make friends, but literally what do I say?
Yeah.
Like I'm like, hi, my name's Zoe. Then what?
Yeah.
What's worked for you, Matt?
That's good. Yeah. I think, a big one for me is I try to, when I approach someone and it's totally just brand new like that, then I try to pick something out, you know, about them. And I ask necessarily how they're doing, maybe how their day is, how their week is, not to try to come off too strong, but also know that, hey, I'm actually interested and I'm engaging with you. Because I think a lot of people, especially with, you know, the, you know, growing technology and day and age and society that we're in, is like, there's a couple quick generic questions that we can or cannot ask, you know, someone specifically just being like, oh, okay, like good to see you. Keep it moving.
Yeah.
So often, so, you know, quick, and people aren't even disrespected by that. They just think that's the norm. But I think deep down, if people are honest with themselves, they want to feel like you seen, like you said, seen, known, yeah. and loved, especially just seen and heard almost. I would add heard to that as well.
Yeah.
Because they just want to, you know, they want someone to actually be interested in their life and what's going on and how their soul is, how they're actually doing.
Yes.
And so when those kind of questions are asked towards them, I think then they're a little bit caught off guard, but also been like, oh wow, this is different. This person's actually genuinely interested.
Yeah.
That was kind of a shift for me probably,
yeah.
I think.
And I like what you said is you didn't ask, hey, or you don't say, hey, I'm Matt, nice to meet you. How you doing?
Yeah.
You're asking, how is your day? You're asking specific things
yeah.
that require more than a good, bad, yes, no answer.
Yes.
To just pull something out of people.
Yep.
So what's your format for doing that? Are you like someone mm-hmm. who's just like, oh, I met you. Oh, let's grab a drink. Let's grab coffee soon. Or,
yeah.
or how do you roll with that?
Yeah. Usually like coffee or something like that. Or depending on how they kind of answered, I'd say like throughout the, like what their week, day-to-day schedule looks like, week-to-week schedule looks like. That'll kind of follow. Like, oh, okay, you're free in the evenings. Oh, okay, like, or like early afternoon, whatever. Like, let's do this based on their time of day. Probably will like determine if it's lunch or if it's dinner or if it's coffee, something like that.
Yeah,
that's probably my go-to. What's yours?
No, I would agree. And I'm thinking about how Starbucks just came to be in the 90s. Yeah. How would we function as people yeah. without having coffee shops to sit down and talk at?
Right.
Yeah. So I would say mine's similar. I mean, I think we both can say we thrive in one-on-one conversations.
Yeah, for sure.
And it is impossible for me personally to get to know anybody in a group setting.
Gotcha. Interesting. Yeah.
Because I want full attention on you.
Yes, that's great. And I agree with that. I was actually just talking to someone else about it last week. That's such a great point. You definitely have to shift your mind a little bit if it's like like a group setting. And for those people, if you're watching and like, if you are like us, where you're just like, okay, one-on-one is the best. It's the only time I can really get to know people. Everything else, if I'm just discouraged because I see, like, I feel overlooked or not heard or seen in a group setting, I would try to say, don't get discouraged, just because it's a different mindset where it's like, you can only go so deep, right? You can only go so deep in a group setting, or it's like, you're really, you know, it's just a different environment where it's like, okay, you know, we're catching up on the game that's on, or we're talking about this event that just happened that we came from, or something like that.
Yeah.
So I'd say maybe adjust expectations in those settings, those environments. Because I've had the same experiences where it's like, oh man, I really wanted to connect with this person at this group, but there were 12 people there. And it's like, that wasn't happening because there were four conversations going on.
Yes.
So.
And that's not to say the group settings are bad.
That's what
they
I mean.
They could be the perfect springboard.
Exactly.
Where you're like, oh, I was catching a friend, exactly, like a vibe with this person.
Yep.
Let's pull it outside.
Perfect.
Get to know each other one-on-one.
Get a number as you're leaving, shoot a text, whatever. Like, yeah, hey, let's finish up that conversation. Yeah. Great, yeah, call. That's good.
And that can be scary for some people too, but like,
totally,
what's the worst that can happen? They say no. Okay.
Right.
You just
right.
move on.
Right.
There, exactly. Thankfully, there's more than three people,
yes,
in the world.
Yep. And not only you, but there's a couple other people who have helped me in that, because I have definitely, and sometimes being honest, still struggle with that. I'm just like, oh man, like I wanted to, whatever. Like if someone says no, or a friendship relationship doesn't go as, you know, I thought it was going to go deeper, mm-hmm, as deep as I thought it was going to go.
Yeah.
Taylor Hyatt, we just mentioned his son, Ozzy, earlier, gave me some great advice months back where he was just like, so, like, doesn't work out, like, try someone else, like, go for it with someone else. You know what I mean? And you said the same thing. I mean, some other people have, where it's just like, okay, cool. Like, pick the people who you want to pursue to be friends with and pursue it. And it's like, and if it doesn't kind of happen, like, give it some time, but also just like, that's okay. It's not the end of the world kind of type deal. So that,
yeah,
really made me feel like, yeah, like, what's this worst thing that could happen?
Yeah, so. Totally. And it's all this concept of, if you want to feel valued, make someone else feel valuable.
It's great. That's really good.
Yours is start small and then you go deeper.
Yeah.
I'm someone who kind of takes the like catch them off guard approach.
That's 1000%
true. Yeah. So like one of the first questions I would ask someone while we're, you know this, mm-hmm, while when we get coffee together is I'll just be like, yeah, so like, where are you at in life? Tell me what you're doing. And then, so I will transition from what job do you do to, do you enjoy that job?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, no. Okay. What is your biggest passion?
Yeah.
What is your biggest dream job? And all of a sudden they light up. They're like, wow, because we just got them thinking about what the future can be.
Yep.
Myself and I, we just worked as a team.
Yep.
But
no, that's great.
Yeah. So we have two different approaches, but,
yep,
but I just really want to ask people questions that I would want to be asked.
Yeah.
So that they realize, hey, this is different. And this is also comforting.
Yep. Exactly. I think that's really cool that you ask people that also, because it allows them to dig deep in their heart, and then also of like, okay, cool, I can kind of like, you know, this conversation is like, wow, really makes me actually think, you know what I mean? Even the questions that I ask, I think people can still be like, oh, it was fine.
Yeah.
Day was good. Week's good. I do this, you know, it's fine like that. But that definitely makes them think and pull some stuff out of them, which is awesome.
Yes.
Which is the best.
And I think another interesting part that I've learned is body language over the years.
Yeah.
In conversations with people. Cause you ever been in a conversation with someone where they feel creepy?
Yes.
And and you just don't know why.
Right.
But there's something about them that you're just like, I'm unsettled.
Totally. And sometimes I've even thought that.
I thought you were going to say, sometimes they've told them.
No, not at all. No, I couldn't do that. But there's some people who I've got coffee with, and like, you know, the guy just like might be looking at the ground, or he might just be like postured a certain way, where I kind of think that I'm like, it's kind of weird vibes, like creepy vibes, but it's just actually just how they are and how they operate a little bit more. And so I'm just like, okay, just, it's different for sure, but it's not necessarily like a bad thing. It had to be a thing that I adjust to, because immediately I'm just like, this is creepy, but it's not. And then also they become more comfortable. So I think it's just a process of like comfortability. Cause also I'd say that for going back to the small group that we had, it was a process of people getting comfortable.
Oh, everybody came in with their shoulders up to their ears.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, the creepiness can sometimes just be like, they're a little bit not sure at first, and then they get more comfortable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think the thing is, authenticity is key, right?
Huge.
Because that's, we're the generation that wants to hide everything, yet can sniff it out when it's not authentic.
Yes.
So it's like, we got to make it parallel.
Yeah. That's,
we got to let our yes be yes.
That's
okay.
So great.
So bring authenticity back.
Yes. We need it.
Make,
more of it.
I was going to say bring sexy back, and then combine that with authenticity, and it didn't work.
Yeah. It's okay. We'll just
I was going to say make authenticity a sexy back. That's weird.
I don't even know.
I'm keeping this in the podcast so people know what I'm actually like.
Typical Zoe to keep this in. Keep this awkward, classic, weird moment in the podcast.
Oh my gosh, we should show them the photo for our singles only small group. Oh gosh,
maybe we'll toss it up here or something. I don't know.
Right there?
Yeah, somewhere.
Yeah.
Something like
okay,
that.
Perfect. Oh, yeah, because it's ridiculous. If you're on the podcast and you don't get to see this photo, so
yeah,
gotcha.
You'll just have to check it out on YouTube.
That's right. So, body language, as
yes,
you're saying.
Right.
And wow. you mentioned an important thing about make eye contact.
Yeah.
Eye contact makes someone feel so huge. Important. And if it's uncomfortable to them, that's okay.
Yeah.
But that right. don't let that stop you.
Yeah, exactly. Because I've actually, yeah, that's such a good point. Because I've had times where they are uncomfortable, but then I'm, obviously you're not death staring.
Yeah.
But yeah, exactly, that it's weird. But the fact that you kind of keep the eye contact, they're like, oh, okay, this person, because we're just like, oh man, it's tough. If you guys have ever, you ever been in these, like where you're just like, someone's checking their phone, you're grabbing coffee or lunch, and I'm just like, it's a struggle with honestly, like a lot of people. And that's probably me reading way too into it, but like that's a huge thing where I'm just like not a fan.
No, I feel that too, because quality time
is huge. Yeah.
Huge. Right. So we're giving people some actionable takeaways right here.
Totally.
Eye contact.
Yeah.
Put your phone. Here's what I do with my, oh, it's the mic.
Right, right.
I take my phone, I put it face down.
Perfect.
On the table.
Yep.
So I cannot be distracted seeing any notifications.
Yep. Or I even just have it in my pocket as like, you know.
Even better.
The person's there.
Even so smarter,
I'm just like,
Matt.
Cool. I'm not even going to break it in, like break it out.
Girls' pockets are shorter, so we can't throw them in there. But
good point.
I could put it in my backpack purse. I would say don't cross your arms when you're talking to someone.
Good. Yeah.
That just makes me feel like you are closed off from hearing what I'm saying.
Right.
Because your body's telling me the same.
Yes. And if there's an uncomfortable aspect in that where it's like, oh, I have to do something with my arms though, Zoe. Okay. Grab some food. Grab a drink.
Yes.
Something like that. Just, it's fine.
Spin that cup at Starbucks.
Right. Right. Oh my gosh.
And I would say even like little things like put your whole body seated forward.
Yes.
Not like your legs hanging off the side where you're just like, you know.
Unless it's someone like your best friend that you're super
well, of course. You're so chill at that point. That's right. In that case.
Yeah. Those are good. These are actionable tips. I like this.
That's right.
That's what we want.
We got to help the people.
Have to.
Find the community.
Man.
So that's good. So we addressed that. Mm-hmm. What do you say? Okay. What about this one?
Yes.
What if someone has tried to be vulnerable with another person before and not even necessarily vulnerable. They're just like, I was trying to get deep and they didn't care.
Yeah.
And they're feeling a little defeated. Like they're just like, they didn't care. It wasn't received. They're like, cool. Thanks for sharing. Or didn't even say thanks for sharing.
Right. Okay.
What would you do in that instance?
Man, that's great. That's really good. I think that almost goes back to a little bit of like what I just mentioned about the phone. Like because I've been probably one or two instances where I am like feeling like I'm pouring my heart out and the person is just, you know, a little bit busy or, you know, preoccupied, whatever with their phone. And I'm just like, man, they just don't care. They're like, don't give me the time of day. Or like, and I've also thought, this is definitely as I've, I think, grown a little older, but I've been like, okay, like this is just not the best time for them. And that's where I do wish that that person would say that. But at first, man, like, That was hard. I'm like, wow, this person just isn't feeling it at all. So it's so hard not to feel defeated and discouraged and leave that being like, wow, I was so pumped to like actually get to know them. And it was just totally fell flat. It was got nothing from them, got nothing out of that.
Yeah.
That's hard. It's definitely hard. And it's, I can't say that that's not going to happen a couple times because it absolutely is.
Right.
Or if we're being honest with ourselves of like had other instances, scenarios, conversations with other people where we're that person. And so, you know, I think we just have to keep that in mind of being like, people are gonna let you down, but at the end of the day, like you still absolutely need, you know, community. And I just finished this book. I gotta plug it. It's called The Power of the Other by Henry Cloud.
Yes.
It's so good.
Dr.
Henry Cloud, my bad. But it's all about relationships and how important relationships are and kind of ties in leadership. But how it's actually scientific of how much our body craves connection, our brains can get and should be rewired thanks to relationship and thanks to connection. We're constantly searching for connection. So won't dive into it too much, but it's, highly recommend. Crazy good read.
I'll put the link in the bio.
Yes.
Bio. I'll put the link in the description below.
Description and tags, whatever. What about you? What is your kind of experiences with that? Maybe you don't
have any? Oh, no. So I definitely have experiences with that. Okay. One thing I want to pull out of yours.
Yes.
Is that you said you wish they had just told you if it wasn't a good time.
Yes, that's good.
Being honest is always the right thing to do. Like, this is what I talked about in the ghosting episode, right? Yeah. But it's like, don't say yes to someone because you're not making anything better.
Right.
You are not helping anyone's feelings if you're only going to be half present or zero present.
Yeah, for sure.
Emotionally. But your body happens to be present at the time.
Especially if it could be a great, awesome connection between the two of you. Like, you know, as a friend down the road or whatever it is. It's like, man, he could have missed out on a, or you did miss out on a great opportunity just because you didn't tell him, this isn't the greatest time. I only have 15 minutes and I got to rush to do this errand or whatever it is. Yeah,
yes.
Agreed. Just be honest, transparent. So we definitely need more of that. Man, we could go so many ways. We could go down that rabbit hole with honesty and truthfulness. But
yeah. For me, I've had a couple instances over the years, probably 15 or 20.
Okay. Yeah.
Which is a pretty large amount.
Yep.
Where the conversation.
Also, quick side note, Zoe is the person who will do that and seek out these conversations, these relationships. So that also don't feel like discouraged if you're like, wow.
That's where I'm going with this.
Yeah.
Is they were like dud conversations where I think they thought I was coming to interview them.
Mm, gotcha.
Like, I'll never forget. There was this one conversation in college. This guy literally would answer my questions and sit there in silence and stare at me.
Oh, it's tough.
Pardon? What?
Yeah, it's tough.
Like, just say no next time, you know?
Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah.
But you know how, maybe if you don't, but if you have done sales at any point in your life, they always say the more calls you make, the more sales you're going to get.
Sure.
It's just a rule, right?
Yep.
So if you're out there grinding, making 100 plus calls a day, your chances go up of success because you are getting so much more practice.
Yep.
So when I say I've had like 20 really bad, awful episodes of conversations that were just like, that wasn't a conversation. It was an interview.
Yeah.
I've had 200 more that were amazing.
Right. Right, exactly.
And so
it's
all a ratio.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
So,
that's such a good point.
Of course, don't be discouraged by that.
Yeah.
I mean,
for sure.
If you could go in with a mentality of like, one in 10 might not be the best.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't that give
great
you
odds.
More confidence?
Great odds.
You gotta do 10.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
that's
pursue it all the more.
That's what I would say right there. Make a numerical goal.
Okay.
This is what I did in college. Not of how many friends you want.
Just how many.
How many conversations you want to have.
That's great.
Yeah. So
mine,
when I was in college,
crazy
because
story.
I was on
it's a wild story.
Small campus.
I almost plugged it earlier. I almost brought it up earlier.
Yeah. I decided I want to eat a meal with someone different every single day and get to know their story.
It's nuts.
And I ended up doing it from sophomore year all the way through graduation and got over 250 meal dates with 250 different people.
It's wild.
So wild.
Yeah.
But it's such an incredible experience because of that, right?
Heck yeah.
So that's an important piece of it is because I made a goal. So now today, especially because I'm busy, you know, I'm a podcaster now.
Got a lot going on.
That's right. I don't know when my voice changed.
That's really.
But so I will make it a goal to get a meal with one different person every week or something like that.
It's great. Yep.
And that can be whatever you want, but there's a good mental preparation that happens when you write it down.
Yes.
Right? Because then you're like, okay, I have committed. Here I am committing to it. And then you have to text someone because then you're really committed.
Right.
Yes. And this is an important part too. Mm-hmm. People always say, nobody ever asks me. Do you know, still to this day, I schedule 90% of my hangouts with people.
Yeah.
I'm not deterred by it.
That's great. That's something I struggled with for a while, to be honest. A while I'm like, yeah, I'm always the person reaching out. I like, have to do this. And like, really, by that point, like doing that with certain people I would consider close friends.
Yeah.
And so to not get discouraged by that is definitely like, you know, something that's not easy. But also, bottom line is you shouldn't take offense by it if you're that person.
Right.
So that's awesome that you do that. Because that was something I like worked through for a while. It's like, why am I always this person? But it's like, okay, that's not a bad thing at all. It doesn't mean that person values their time with you any less.
Correct.
Could just be the dynamic that you guys created.
Yeah.
So,
or it could be that you're making it a priority and not everyone else is.
Yep.
So some people don't know how to do
people
it.
People are wired differently. Totally.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay, that's a good segue. I have a great question.
Let's go.
Next. What about, because I was kind of thinking about this like leading up to, I was like, man, okay, what like which ways do we want to go with community? What happens when people just kind of like, because I've been in this position where it's like, you kind of take a step back after a while and you're just like, man, I think I just have a bunch of bad relationships and friendships like in my life.
Well, we
like,
need to define what bad is to you.
Yes.
What's good versus bad in your mind?
It's great. Okay. I would say a lot of they're not bringing out the best in you, or they're not challenging you, or you're not, going back to how we kind of started, able to be your most vulnerable and open self. Mm. And that's not, and the most important part I'd say is you're not giving and receiving in that. Or so a lot of times you're giving, not receiving it back. So you're just kind of, you're on empty a lot.
Sure.
Or you're receiving it, but then you're not the one interested in. Anyways, that, I think that's probably the biggest key. So bad, meaning you're not able to be your most vulnerable, open, transparent self in a giving and receiving dynamic. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So what have you done? What do you do when you kind of find yourself and you're like, man, this might be some not the best, not the greatest relationships and friendships that I'm in, that I have? Could be professional, could be personable,
yeah.
Personal. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I would say that I've learned the hard way on a lot of this by overcommitting and not having the capacity to be my best self with other people. Mm. So I would say that I don't think every friendship needs to hold 50-50 dynamic of giving receiving.
Okay.
Because there could be some relationships where you take more of a mentor role, right? Big
Good
brother
point.
Role.
Great point.
Where you're pouring way more than you're receiving.
That's great.
Then there's going to be people who mentor you.
Do that to you.
Who are pouring way more into you and receiving.
Makes
but
sense.
Then there's the tight circle of best friends, which I would say where it's, you want that to be equal standing there, right?
Yes.
So I think that it was trial and error for me because there would be, I'm very much the type of person where if I'm going to invest in you, I'm going to very quickly be able to tell whether you actually want that
That's great,
not. Yeah. But it wasn't quick at first.
Okay.
I would pursue the wrong friendships a lot of the time.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, no, but you're so cool and I want to be so close to you and look how much I care about you and
Sure.
And they're just like, chill the heck out. Like, I don't
want
to be
way too strong.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it was bad.
Yeah.
And so that was not good moments in my life, but it taught me like, okay, I need to, it's always better in my, I don't think you can over communicate in relationships.
Yeah. Wow.
So even today I have a very close circle. And I was just telling someone this the other day and I said that I've had, when it comes to numerical friend, because you know how people care about that. They're like, dude, you're so popular. You have so many friends in college.
Sure.
And once you're out in the real world, nobody cares.
Yep.
So I'm like, I have maybe a handful of very close friends that I'm in constant communication with.
Got you.
Because I know my capacity nowadays. So I would rather be a whole lot to a very little group of people than a little to a whole lot of people.
Yeah, it's good.
And I think that's been something I've had to work through, but really you have to think about your capacity from the standpoint of how much am I willing to commit to this friendship? Like even down to like time amount.
Yeah. Okay.
Right? Like
if I have
three best friends, do I have the capacity to add another? You know, something like that.
Okay.
If you want to hang out with a best friend once a week, and this is just how my mind works after doing this for a while. So I know my core, I want to hang out at least once a week.
Okay.
Or once every other week.
Okay.
So outside of that, that's only leaving how many days, right?
Yep.
So I got to know where am I able to...
Definitely makes sense.
...to bring that in.
Follow-up question. Just made me think, I guess you touched on it already, but what if you're in a leadership role of some sort? Does that look different? You know, because... You made the point about being a lot to just a small group of people or a little to a lot. If you're in a leadership role, say of a business or of, you know, something else that requires you to oversee a lot of people, you may have to appear as maybe a little to a lot of people.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on that? It literally just popped to my mind.
Ooh, that's tricky. Because that's the easy route in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
Because you don't have to be committed for the long haul per se.
Yeah.
You can have this drop in, drop out kind of friendship.
Yep.
And I don't love that, but sometimes that's just how the cards fall.
Sure.
So I think in that point, it's just making people feel as loved as possible while they're in your presence.
Yeah.
Like, and I know there's so many people that listen to this who are just like, I haven't talked to Zoe in a year, but
Same.
You know, I'm ready for a good conversation with her when we do.
Yeah, that's great. That's really great.
That's what does. Yep. We haven't talked for a couple months.
Yep, exactly. Exactly. So. That's a great point. You even said that about Amy. That was, I love that you mentioned, you love that you mentioned that. You're like, I could not talk to her for a year or several months and just be like, wow, she's so engaged. Like when you guys are catching up, Amy and Anthony are awesome like that. Totally agree.
They are the best.
That helps. I thought of that just because that's a problem. I mean, it is tricky for leaders, for, you know, pastors or whatever leadership role that looks like, big CEO of a company of just like, okay, like I have to appear strong. I have to like appear that I care about people, like all of these people, you know, no matter big or small, but then also I do want to be intentional with my relationships with them and how I manage them and how I operate the company. So yeah, that's tricky. I think I would agree with you. I would agree. I'd just be like, you know, you hope that people understand the capacity that you're able to give to them and receive it.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's a 30-minute conversation, whether it's a quick check-in and another week or month goes by or something like that.
Yeah.
So that's helpful.
And there would be times where I would just say like, hey, I'm so sorry. I'm actually not. There's been people that recently who've asked me, they're like, hey, I want to hang out. Do you think we can hang out like every 2 weeks? And I was just like, I'm so sorry. I honestly don't have the time capacity right now. Like I would love to. I just cannot.
Yeah. And that's great because it goes kind of back to what we said about honesty. But and then all you can do is hope that they receive that well.
Right.
You know, and that they know your character.
Yeah.
That's great.
And like that quote I've mentioned in previous episodes, people can always accept a no. What they can't accept is a lack of response.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I want to go back to the whole good friend, bad friend thing, right?
Okay. Yeah.
Because we were approaching it from a very black and white angle when people are not black and white.
So good. Yeah. Not at all.
I think some things for me that I have decided are important for me over the years is I need people in my corner who can encourage me and hype me up.
Okay.
I'm a very hype person.
Very.
This should not be a surprise to anybody, but I want people up here with me when I'm up here.
Yep.
Now, when I'm down, you don't need to be down there with me. You just need to chill with me while I'm down there, and then we'll come back up, bring me there.
Yep.
But people that also really want to know my vision and my heart are such a gift because, I mean, the conversations my best friend and I have, like Brooke and I have, we will get as granular as, hey, I'm feeling this way right now. Before I tell you, here's what role I would like you to play.
That's great. Wow.
I don't want it fixed. I just want you to be with me.
Yeah.
Or maybe I don't want you to be with me. I want an ally and I want to fix it right now. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. That's wow. I love that you said that.
Yeah.
That's great.
And it's just so helpful.
Yes.
But that's people who know you, right?
Definitely.
Who you've spent so much time building that bond of trust with.
Yeah.
Which isn't everybody. But I think when it comes to how people always say, like, you are like the five people you're closest with.
Sure.
And people are always like, well, I'm trying to be rich, so I'm going to be friends with rich people. Like, what is wrong with you?
I know.
No, here's what you could become.
Yeah.
If you hang with maybe the wrong group of five people, you could become manipulative, selfish, greedy, self-seeking,
right,
and get pulled away from the focus, which if faith is important to you, you want people who are making it more important.
Yes.
To you.
Great. Yep.
And I think that has been my personal guidepost
that's
to
awesome.
Navigate it because what I would rather have is people who don't want to be stagnant ever and are so committed to growth personally, spiritually, emotionally, physically.
That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So growth mindset is big for me.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I love that.
What would you say?
Yeah, that's, man, so much. First, I love that you said that about what you and Brooke do. We're literally, my fiance and I are in marriage counseling. Shout out Kels and Hallie Johnson if you're watching. But I probably covered this a couple months back, had that exact conversation about like, you know, okay, like, you know, what type of arguments do you guys have? What are some like little spats that you guys get into that maybe like could become bigger things if you guys don't squash them or whatever?
Yeah.
We kind of got into that. And we landed there with them, you know, Kels and Hallie giving us that advice of like, okay, maybe figure out what roles you guys want to have before you know, vent to each other or talk to each other about a specific issue, topic, something like that. Hey, you know, Madison, I need you to hear me out. Hey, Matt, actually, I would love advice. I'd love feedback from you or something like that. So it's definitely helped. That's really good. And
it's so helpful.
Not a thing I really, that was kind of the first time I was like, wow, this is super helpful to kind of like know this, address this, grow through it. But before that, I think I would always be a guy where I'm like, okay, I'm going to be a helper. Like, I'm just going to help this person. They want advice, right? They like need my help and I'm going to give it to them. But they might, a lot of times friends, you know, similar to others, they might not want that. They might just want, okay, I just need you to hear me as a friend right now.
Yeah.
That's really great.
Yeah. And there's been times where it would be like, what do you want me to be right now?
Yeah.
And the response is, I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, at least you asked.
Yes.
So now, no matter what, we are going to have to navigate together as pals.
Yeah.
Like, what are we going to do?
Or
as fiancés.
Yeah, that's great. But to keep diving in on that for me, I'd say similar. I love the growth mindset. Definitely getting into faith more of like, okay, making sure guys are really challenging me in my faith and making sure that, you know, they're not letting me kind of slack of who God has called me to be. Like, hey man, like I see this and this in you, and it could sound harsh sometimes, or it could be the most encouraging thing at times.
Yes.
I think I really appreciate that balance, that back and forth of like, all right, Matt, like, no, actually, like, this is where, you know, God's calling you to do this, man. Like, also, like, you know, you shouldn't be involved in this, or like make this decision. You know, it could be practical. It could be, a lot of times it feels more practical.
Yes.
But yeah, for me, totally. So much, definitely more faith-based, most faith-based couple guys.
Which when we tie this back in, that feeds a first-time conversation with someone.
Yes.
Because you're trying to figure out, hey,
is this
someone they would want? Am I someone they would want in their life?
Yeah.
And vice versa.
Yeah, that's
so
good.
You don't need to be like, is Jesus important to you?
Right. Yeah, that's like, not what we're trying to say.
So tell me about your growth mindset.
Oh my gosh, right. Yeah, please don't say any of those.
That'd be so weird. But what you can say is like, what's something that you've done in the past 12 months that has challenged you more than any other year before?
Yep.
Just come on, like questions like that where it makes people go, whoa, I don't know. Or like, what has God taught you this past month specifically?
Yep.
You know?
Yep, it's great.
I love having those questions because that's... I would want to talk about that with somebody.
Yep.
You know?
Yep. Exactly.
So when you reverse engineer a conversation, it's like, what would I want people to ask me?
Mm-hmm.
And what am I seeking in a friend?
It's great. Yep. Unless, I think the thing that just came to mind as well is like, unless you know, kind of heading into it, maybe it's a person that you know, already know heading into the first or second, whatever type of one-on-one hangout, is that you understand already this person maybe reached out to you like, hey, I'm going through it. So, you know, I need some help. I need someone to be there for me. So you maybe understand or know more like, okay, this person needs me to just kind of hear them out and be there for them at this time rather than, you know, fire off some questions of like getting to know type questions.
Yes.
You know, that's type of an outlier. When building community, when first forming community, that person really might just, you know, they might have some trust in you because they've heard from so-and-so that you're that type of person. So those could be some different instances that I just thought of.
Yeah, no, that's great. And I think it's also important to say here, and this has been something I have just been learning so much over the past year, is you cannot control someone else's anything. Their reaction, how they receive something.
Yeah.
So perfect example, someone is really lonely. Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
And so maybe they're like oversharing because they're just like, I just want to tell someone.
Yeah, definitely.
But then they're just like, oh, I don't want to tell anyone because I don't want to be a burden. First off, you cannot decide or control how somebody receives that.
Wow. Yeah.
It's not up to you
whether
someone chooses that you're a burden or not.
Yep. Yep.
And that has been really freeing for me, but also very important in conversations as well.
Yep.
Because really, the burden is only placed upon you when you decide to receive that from somebody else, right?
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to do a whole episode on the whole culture of offense.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah,
that's
great.
That's a choice you're making. You're totally. Literally choosing to be offended.
Yeah. Yeah. You're right.
And in that same breath, every... yes, you say, is a series of how many no's along the way. And I think it's just an important mindset to have that it's not black and white.
Yeah.
You know?
Right. Biggest reminder probably out of that.
Yeah.
Out of a lot of this. Yeah. It's not black and white at all.
Yeah. It's very nuanced.
Yes.
Because we're people.
Yes.
And we're all different people.
Exactly.
Yeah. So how can we figure out how to know each other better?
Yeah. That's great. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I think it's interesting because we're talking about community, but really we're focusing on one person at a time.
Yes.
But that's how it works.
Exactly. Exactly.
One person at a time.
And I think it, you know, a weird little dynamic as well. I think that a lot of people say like, you know, especially, I don't know if it's our generation type deal, but you see a lot of it on social media recently where it's just like, can't take care of others before you take care of yourself first. Like, got to check yourself first, make sure, like, you know, you're locked down if you need all the time in the world to just, you know, figure yourself out, which there's some truth to that, no doubt. But I also would argue a little bit against that and say, the only way that you're going to get your fuel, right? Like, your gas tank's on, like, your physical car, your gas tank is on empty. You still have to take it to a gas station to someone to get fuel, right?
Yes.
And then same thing with yourself. Absolutely. But here's a way to, you know, take care of yourself is to receive love, vulnerability from someone.
That's
right. And just be in, like, the presence of someone that maybe you trust, or putting yourself out there to get to know someone.
Yes.
So I think that is part of the healing process, or improving yourself better.
And on that quote that we saw a lot, it's like, no, put yourself first. Now, it's one thing if every friendship you have, you're the only one giving all the time. Those are not friends, baby. Those are leeches. Not Matt Leech.
Not my last name.
Okay. But yeah, so
yeah, like you said, one by one, that's like the biggest, and it could sound cliche, but it's really not, because it's you being vulnerable and you being open to one by one, people one by one.
How do you eat an elephant?
Yep.
Tell him, Matt.
I forget actually what
Matt,
the quote is.
It's one bite at a time.
One bite at a time. I almost said one step at a time, and I was like, that makes no sense.
We were going to sing the Jordan Sparks song.
Yes.
One step at a time.
What a throwback. Wow.
One friend at a time. But so we started the small group because we wanted to build those deep connections.
Yeah.
And I think the difference, according to a lot of people in the group, what they shared with us was that we fostered an ability for everyone's voice to be heard and be very open, where they only needed to share their own experience. So it wasn't question answer based things. It was, no, tell us about yourself.
Even if
they disagreed, which happened
all the time. I was just about to say that.
Yes.
It was awesome because someone would share and then another person in the group would be like, well, actually, like, that's interesting you say that, because I saw it this way, or I've interpreted those situations, similar situations, as XYZ. Tell me about that, because that's interesting to me. So
that's it. Tell me about that.
Yep. And it's, I think, one of the most important parts is what you mentioned already, is that we let them pick the topics, right? So it's like they had control. And I think also goes back to kind of what we mentioned of, like, people want to feel heard and seen.
Yes.
So when you give them that opportunity, and give others that opportunity, a lot of times it's going to just happen organically.
Absolutely.
So,
and they always, all the, like, business, like, Jocko Willink always says that. He said, once you let the team create the plan, they take full ownership of it.
Yep. Love that. That's awesome.
But so, in the same way, you can come up with a plan for your friendships, and then you can take full ownership of it.
Right.
Hey. Ooh. Oh.
She always does this. Always has these one-liners where she just gets so hyped. That's classic.
Matt, I think this was a great conversation.
Yeah. Yep.
If people didn't get any takeaways from this,
hit us
we
up.
Suck.
Give us feedback. We would love to know, because that'd be helpful. Or
positive or negative.
Better, comment and let us know some helpful tips that you've had.
Ooh, trying
community.
To get that engagement.
Yes, gotta have the engagement, increase engagement. Let's go. But for real, but actually, that'd be super helpful. And for people watching, and it's like, if that's a struggle, or if you've had a ton of success being like, wow, yeah, people flock to me for whatever reason. Awesome. What? Why is that?
No, I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. If you have a specific question, if you're a guy, if you feel more comfortable reaching out to Matt, if you're a girl, you know, however you want to do it.
Yep.
Or you can put us in a group message.
It's great.
If you have a very specific, like, nuanced, like, I would love to give my best shot to help you out. Just having a different brain sometimes, because this is such a weird topic where people don't want to admit, like, I'm having trouble.
Yes. Yes. Totally. Absolutely. Especially in the last year that we've had. Yes.
Hello.
Exactly.
Yes.
That's huge. And that's like, I hate that we keep, not hate it. No, I don't.
Love.
Yeah. We keep harping on it, but it's just true. It's like, okay, so just, reach out. The fact that you're like, hey, I'm having a hard time with this, or I'm having a hard time with.
Yes.
Yeah. But that's the first step.
I dare you to reach out.
Yes.
Even if it makes you feel uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And going back to it, it's hard, right? Everything in life's hard, but it gets easier once you do it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why. So when I was just like, people don't like to admit when they're struggling or they need help.
Yeah.
I'm at the point where I'm just like, no, I just got to tell somebody.
Yeah. Right.
I'm just like, shame, embarrassment, I don't care anymore. It's worth me putting it out there if I can get a solution.
Yep.
Because I'm solution minded.
Oh my gosh.
All right. Matt's like, turn this off right now.
Had enough.
Cut it out. All right, guys. Bye.
See ya.
Well, I just love that conversation with Matt. What a great pal and what great fun we had. And, you know, as I was listening to the episode, I realized there was one piece that I actually didn't talk about, and I think it's important. So I'm going to share it with you, because if you're someone who has a faith and you love Jesus, here's something that I employed when I needed to make friends. Simply this. I started asking God, all right, God, here's the deal. I want you to decide my friends from now on, because clearly I haven't done so well. So put the people who are supposed to be in my life in front of me and open the door for deep relationships. And let me tell you, time and time again, in fact, every single time I have prayed that, God has answered with a yes, I will do that, because I believe that God loves community, because he himself is a community. Don't get me started. Okay, let's hit some takeaways that came to mind. One, vulnerability is always a risk worth taking. It's an opportunity to give someone the gift of your trust. Two, if you want to feel valued, first make someone else feel valuable. Three, it's totally acceptable to tell people you know and love exactly what you need and how to help you with something. I found from my personal experience that most people are really excited to learn, because otherwise they wouldn't have known, so they would be afraid that they were guessing the incorrect way to approach a certain situation. Matt and I said it at the end of the episode, but we really want to hear from you. In fact, I would want to make this a part two. So reach out to us, tell us about certain scenarios, questions, crazy stories and experiences you've had. We want to hear it. Now, you can reach out to me, Zoe Asher, or Accidentally Intentional on Instagram. Love to hear from y'all. Love to chat and talk about friendships together. Here's the caveat. Matt doesn't actually have an Instagram, but he said you can email him to mp.leach95@gmail.com, and I'm putting it in the description below. Yes, you can laugh at him. I'm laughing at him because what the heck, Matt? People are trying to reach out to you and we got to send him to Gmail. Welcome back to 2005. Matt actually confessed to me when we were recording this episode that he doesn't actually listen to this final part of the podcast. So this is where I could get away with whatever I wanted to say about him. But honestly, he's the best. I'm so excited for him and his future and his wedding coming up this summer. Let's go! Guys, at the end of the day, know that you are so loved. We are here for you. We are in this together. And I hope this week is filled with meaningful conversations in your life. Was there someone that came to mind as you were listening to this episode? Because if so, please share it with them. We're so passionate about this message and we want to give value to the people that would benefit from it. We drop a new episode every other Thursday, so be sure to subscribe to get the latest conversations. Oh, and one more thing. If you enjoyed this episode and this podcast, I would be so honored if you would leave a review. It helps us to better connect with the intended audience of this podcast by doing so. And I truly am so grateful for any amount of time that you choose to spend with me, because trust me, I know how many options are out there and I do not take it for granted. Seriously, I just really appreciate you. And hey, I may not know your name yet, but let's change that. Connect with me on Instagram at Zoe Asher or on Twitter at Combos with Zoe. But hey, even if I don't know your name yet, what I do know for certain is that you're amazing. I love you. You have something that the world needs, and you are always more than enough. So hey, we'll see you next time on the Accidentally Intentional podcast.